AE, put the beat on. Hey, Taylor, you like this joint?
Yeah, this beat hard.
Yeah, you sure you like this joint? You would tell me if you didn't, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, this don't go hard.
All right, cool. This my man, Scottie Pimpin' joint.
Okay, all right, then.
Matter of fact, I got something for this.
Got something like what?
Welcome to the top shelf, where the flavor's so hot, but you will not melt. About to take you on a ride like you never felt. Up and down real smooth like a carousel. Moving in our own lane, no parallel. Everybody needs sleep, it's good for your health. If you stuck like Chuck, I might have a help. Cause we talk sports, life, and everything else.
It's on a podcast.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We thank you for taking the time to tune in to Sleep, the Sports Life and Everything Else podcast, where sports, life, and entertainment collide. Presented by the Away Team and coming to you from the top shelf, this is Season 4, Episode 18. My name is Michael Roberts, a.k.a. Mike on the Mic. And if it ain't all good, make it that way. We've got my co-host, Taylor Suber, here.
Yo, stay in your bag, get in your bag, stay in your bag, stay in your bag. That's that new Diddy joint with Bryson Tiller.
Oh, with Bryson Tiller.
Stay in your bag, stay in your bag, stay in your bag. I said, Diddy, that's all you can going to contribute to the song? The song is hot, but that's all he says.
Okay.
Then he talks at the end. Like, he don't rap. He just, stay in your bag, get in your bag.
That's how he gets the publishing.
That's a Diddy cosign.
That's
bro.
How he gets publishing, oh. Bro. All he got to do is say a line.
Still vampiring off these young artists.
That was so funny, man. Get in your bag, stay in your bag.
Get that money,
Diddy. He just on beat, and that's it.
Bad boy.
That's a hit. Even though he ain't singing enough in a rapping, it's Bryson Tiller singing.
Taylor, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Staying in my bag, getting my bag. Man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, get in your bag, stay in your bag.
Getting that bag.
Can't get it out of my head. It's a hit.
All right.
Diddy's done it again.
Another one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got producer extraordinaire, One Will E, handling the boards and the important stuff. E, how you feeling?
I'm good, man. You're not going to believe what we did today.
What'd you do today?
We one wheeled today.
Mm.
And it was very...
101.
Very, very... Now, we dipped off on that side of MLK where all the trees on the path. MLK is pretty shaded. So it's just that part when you come back across the bridge. Oh, my God. It was quite toasty out there, but we had a good time. You know, we got to make the most of our weekends because, you know, I'm pretty busy.
So. I feel you. Well, I was with my girl the other day, and we seen somebody one wheel, and he almost fell off the wheel. But But he got it together, and he dipped across the street in front of us. He was just waiting at a red light to go.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he went along his way. So she said, "What's that?" I said, "Baby, that's a one wheel." I said, "E-Rod's one of those."
That's what's up. Because I know I done had my stagger moments, my embarrassing moments at the corner. I try not to stop because it's what it is. It's the restart.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I didn't want to be extra and bring attention to him. You know what I'm saying? I was like, let him go on and
as
do
his
thing.
As long as he didn't nosedive, he aight.
Nah, he didn't even fall. He just stumbled. He jumped off and then he got back on. Boom.
Mm. All right. What he probably had was called a false start.
Okay.
Is when your board might come up to power, but your sensor isn't engaged, and the board just shuts off. So you'll go forward a little bit. You know, it'll look like you stumble off. It's just a false start, and you got to get your feet set.
That's how you know what he's talking about. You up here breaking down technical terms for us,
and all
of our good listeners.
Now, as long as the board didn't rocket forward.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay, as long as the board didn't rocket forward.
No rocketing forward.
All right. That because it will surge if you're not, if you don't have your back foot set.
Jump out from under you, huh?
No, you can't, because if that back foot come off and that nose go forward, that's like hitting the gas pedal without no way to put the brakes on. Because if your back foot is the brake, that's, you got to lean back. You can't lean on that front foot. So
okay.
You'll be, I've experienced it. It's not cool.
I get it. Well, you can follow us on Twitter and IG at Sleep Is For You. That's SLEEPIS, the number 4 YOU. Subscribe and listen to new or old episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, Samsung Podcasts, Player FM, or YouTube. Kindly subscribe to the YouTube page. Like episodes, leave comments, show love, show hate. We're here for it all. Tell a friend to tell two friends about us. If you haven't already done so, look up sleepisforyou.com, the hub for all things sleep-related. And tonight we've got two top fives for y'all. The Common Sense Space, Have You Seen, Have You Heard, Big Deal, No Big Deal, and that good sports talk and coverage that makes this the top shelf. Our showtime is 5:35. So let's spin. The Sixers have come out and announced plans to construct a privately funded stadium in Center City, which will not be completed until the 2031-32 season and will have a price tag of $1.3 billion, which will be shared amongst the owners. So what are we feeling about this? I mean,
I heard that Chinatown opposes it. They're they think it's going to take their business away, but I believe it's going to boost their business. Like,
yeah,
I'd come out of a game and go get some Chinese. Like, what are you talking about?
It changes the whole perspective of when you leave the game, what you're going to do. Because instead of leaving the game and maybe Xfinity Live is open or something like that, I'm saying you're in South Philly. The stadiums are so far removed from just about everything else. In Center City, you're close to like a lot of stuff going on.
And most of the people that go to Chinatown, they're tourists. They come to Philly just to go to Chinatown.
Yep.
It's part of the tour. So, like, get it together. No one's trying to move in. And I think they're worried about them not being able to operate those booty houses they got down there.
The red lights.
Definitely.
They do got some red lights popping.
They're down there in the creeks and the crevices.
Down in the washy washes.
Yeah, I've been down there before.
Yeah. I got a dude I was cool with that he used to go down there pretty regularly.
Yo, back in the Navy days, I didn't even know, and some of my young boy put me on, because like it was guys from the ship, and they was taking trips to Philly like every weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck? He's like, yo, man, the spot, the down Chinatown. I was like, get out of here. Yeah. He was like, yo, if they don't got a girl you want, they make a call and they be coming through the door from somewhere else. Like, what?
Yeah, one of my homies. He just came home. I dropped him off and I spun the block a couple times, and then he got on out about it. He was like, yo, man, thank you, Taylor. I said, listen, man, I'm a good friend. I'm a make sure you're safe. You know what I mean? I scouted the place out for you. Go in there and do your thing, and bang, you right back out there, brother.
Taylor out here looking out for the cooking.
Yeah, that was my homie, man. Yeah, well, he's still my homie. Yeah, I drove, you know what I mean? Like I said, spent the block a couple times, you know what I mean? Sat in the parking spot.
Do your thing, man.
And then came back. He was ready. This was, I think, yeah, cell phone was out around this time.
Yeah, okay. Man, that's what's up, man.
Maybe before so. I don't know. But I know I circled the block, and he was outside. Yeah, maybe he didn't have a cell phone. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah,
well, if he just came home, he probably ain't had no phone on deck.
I can't remember back that far. But going back to the stadium, I'm a type person that every city needs every city. I don't care if it's the biggest city or small, they need like a redo or rejuvenation of the city. So that was cool that they renovated, you know, the convention center, and they put some new stores at the gallery. But I think the stadium would actually be cool. Of course, they're going to, like, people were kind of like mad. It's tight down there. I said, listen, they're going to stretch out the streets. They're going to make it so, like, this is a nine. We'll be in our 40s by the time this thing. It's not like a long process. It's like 9 years away. Yeah, and they're not going to even start until, like, 4 or 5 years of building it. And it's not even been approved yet either. I hope they do approve it, but I just think that the city of Philly, the inner city, the downtown area needs to be rejuvenated. So, and they've done a little bit, but I think they can do a whole lot with that stadium be there. Like, a lot of people don't like change, but I like change, you know what I mean?
And guess what? This is something that's not being paid for by taxpayers.
Yeah. They're not, I mean, you probably are going to pay it on the back end.
Some contribution
Maybe like some small tax, but they're going. Yeah, but they're going to pay for it as opposed to the crap. Well, I don't want to call it the crap, but the stuff down in South Philly where you did have to pay for that. Lori and Alden made you pay by opening up your tax. So this, you're not, they're saying you're not going to have to pay for it. I think you are, but maybe on a small end. But I think it's good for the city. I like the idea of having a Penn's Landing, but they shot that down. So they want to put it in the city.
Penn's Landing would have been dope.
Yeah, but the thing is, these guys are rich. They don't want to rent. They're like, if you're a billionaire and you're renting something, you don't want to rent nothing. You want to build your own stuff. It. Yeah, if you got, what's the point of having billions of dollars if you can't build your own stuff? So I'm not mad at Josh Harris and
the plan is to get out of Wells Fargo Center when the lease is out.
Yeah, they don't want to be down anymore.
They're not trying to break it early. Yeah. They're not trying to leave
That's
early.
Comcast, and we own that. We appreciate y'all, but we want to build our own stuff. And plus, a lot of these cities right now, they got like 6-7 stadiums or something like that. You go to Atlanta, all the college teams have their own stadium. Some are in the city, some are on the outer skirts. So I want Philly to kind of keep up with a lot of these other towns. You know, Brooklyn's, that's in the middle. That was a bus station back in the day, the Barclays Center. So, and no one complains about Madison Square Garden. That's been there for over 50 years. Here's how dumb Taylor is. I went to Penn Station. I walk upstairs. Oh, Madison Square Garden. I didn't even know.
Yeah, like it's one of the same.
It's smack dab in the city. So if you can build a stadium in the middle of Philadelphia, I think that'll rejuvenate the actual city, because no one really, like, when the last time you heard somebody say, yeah, I went downtown, I had a whole lot of fun, like, no one says that anymore. You know what I mean? People go outer to places and stuff like that. But I like the idea of it coming to Philly. I do. Yeah. So I just want people, you know, to have forward thinking with the stadium. I think it's actually a good idea. So
yeah.
I'm not really people were like hating on that. I like the idea of that. Yeah.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
real quick.
Yeah.
We had somebody else that called in unexpectedly.
Who?
See if he's still on the line. Yeah. We got my homie Reese. What up, Reese?
Yo.
I guess you said you was busy.
Yeah. We live doing the show right now.
All right, man. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah. But I'll get back with you.
Sorry about that, y'all.
Sorry about that. I had a little technical thing going on. But in other Sixers news, James Harden signed his 2-year, $68.6 million extension.
Yeah.
With the team locking up for next year, which includes a player option for the 2023-2024 season. So that's what's up. I'm saying James Harden taking a little discount to let the team have a little more flexibility to bring in a little more talent to put around him. I mean, Taylor isn't the most supportive of everybody that they brought in, but. You know, I appreciate change of faces, and I hope that it's able to positively contribute to what we got going on next season.
We'll see, man. Like I said, we got to have like some forward. I won't say forward thinking, but I do like what James Harden did. But he gonna make that $15 million back. But
he has an option to opt out next year.
Yeah, which he basically signed a similar deal to what KD and LeBron did when they went to. When KD went to the Warriors, he signed a 2-year deal, opted out, signed another 2-year deal, opted out, and then signed another 2-year deal. So he just basically signing a one year deal, and then he'll opt out next year. Who knows what happened next year? But I mean, that's fine. I mean, the addition that the Sixers made, I was kind of like lukewarm on. I'm still lukewarm on, but I mean, it's cool. I mean, like I said, they're financially, you know, strapped with Embiid and Tobias, you know, getting paid all the money they getting. So,
yeah
I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, he has to play better, though. Like, what he was at the end of the season, that was horrible. Like, he played I saw the last game. That was like Ben Simmons S. He didn't take no shots in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? And he only had 11 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's got to be a better player. You know what I mean? So he'll be 33 years old, but he's got to get it in. He's a veteran. He took the discount, but he still has to play better. They got to get 22 to 25 points from him, and he's got to be around that. He's got to be the James Harden that he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
So, yeah.
For this team to move.
Well, I have seen footage of him. You know, it looks like he slimmed down a little bit as far as the pounds go, so that's helpful. I'm saying makes him a little more mobile, able to move on the court, and, you know, we'll see what that turns into next year.
Well, we'll see about that when training camp starts, in September, you know what I mean? Yeah. Keep the pounds off, you know what I mean? Make sure your hamstrings are good. Make sure you're eating the right food or whatever, getting the right treatment. But they need to, like, you got to, like... He's got to be committed to the actual team. You know what I mean? He has to be. You know what I mean? For this to work, because
Jumper's tight.
I'm not really impressed by the team right now. Like, I see like 4 or 5 teams in the East that are better than right now. Maybe 6 teams. So
yeah,
but that's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, as far as news outside of Philly, I saw that Jermichael Green is close to agreeing to a buyout with OKC and plans to take his veteran talents to the Bay to join the Warriors.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he can help to replace what they lost in Otto Porter. So moving on to NFL talk, last week after a long offseason of what seemed like nothing going on, Kyler Murray signed an extension with the Cardinals for 5 years worth $230.5 million.
Damn.
With $160 million guaranteed, putting him among the highest paid players in the league. Let me just say that again real quick. $160 million guaranteed for Kyler Murray.
Guaranteed. Yeah, that'll be
surpassed in about a month or so by my man Lamar Jackson, who's got an MVP and is actually taking his team to the playoffs. So that's one thing about these salaries. They don't last that long by being the highest paid. You can be the highest paid for two weeks.
He's not even highest paid.
Well, it's Aaron Rodgers
gets more
paid
than him.
Yeah, but
they were asking Patrick Mahomes how he felt about the fact that, you know, people are getting bigger contracts than him. And he's like, listen, when I signed my deal, I knew that it was life-changing money, and I'd be cool you know what I'm saying, ever. So
Patrick Mahomes,
I'm not worried about what these cats is.
Patrick Mahomes not some broke from the hood. His dad played baseball, so like, as long as he getting his own little check, he got a really big deal with Adidas, and he got the commercials with that State Farm. He ain't missing no checks. You know what I mean? So
Patty's getting that bread.
But Lamar Jackson's about to get that bag.
About to get broke off.
And remember, he don't have no agents, so it's gonna be all for him.
No percentages.
I'm about to get broke off. Yeah.
So I think Lamar Jackson was actually waiting for this, and then he saw what Deshaun Watson got, so he's just waiting. So he just basically like, listen, man, y'all just give me what he just got, the same thing, but put a couple extra millions on it, so I got an MVP and I got a couple of playoffs wins, and then we straight.
Oh,
so
cool.
You know what I mean? But ain't nothing really else but just discuss. Y'all know what it is. Just work it out.
That money right.
Same exact deal, extra 15, 20 mil, and then we straight. So next year, you know, you be talking to me about franchise and franchise tags and all that stuff. But you know what you got to pay me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So sticking on that NFL mode, we're going to get into our first edition of Top 5.
Yeah.
Which is going to be our Top 5 running back duos this season. We're seeing more and more that the NFL is moving away from having, you know, that bell cow back and having more of a running back committee or a share going on in the backfield. So we felt like we needed to address that this week. And at number 5 on my list, I'm going to take it down to New Orleans and speak about Alvin Kamara and the reunion with Mark Ingram, who after a year in Baltimore and a brief stint in Houston, he's back in New Orleans. And Kamara looks like he's going to be out for, you know, a little stretch in the beginning of the season.
Maybe, but, maybe not. You know,
we'll see what happens, how that shakes out.
I think it's court dates next week, I think.
Yeah.
I thought they pushed it back to next year, but it's in a couple of days, yeah.
But, you know, once they are able to get back together, we know what kind of formidable force they make. Kamara being able to stress the defense, catching the ball out of the backfield as well as running between the tackles, and Mark Ingram a little more running between the tackles, but he can catch it as well. So I think they're going to be a good combination when they get back together this season, barring injuries, of course. So number four, we're going to take it to Buffalo and talk about Devin Singletary and James Cook. James Cook, a guy that was just added, drafted out of Georgia. And I think he's going to make a good compliment to Devin Singletary and what they had going on up there last year with the running game. Devin Singletary was among, like, top 10 in the league in yards.
He was really good in the last 5 or 6 games of the year.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Kind of finally put it together after having, like, some lackluster years before that. But last four or five games, he was one of the better running backs. And he had a really good playoff, too.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be beneficial for Buffalo next season.
And James Cook is he's a good player. Yep. Dalvin Cook, little brother.
Yep. So number three, I'm going to take it to Denver, the Broncos, and it's going to be Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of discussion around Javonte Williams, but I think him and Melvin Gordon coming back off of the injury that he had last season is going to be really helpful to Russell Wilson and what the Denver offense wants to do next year or this year. Number two, I'm going to take it to familiar faces, and it's going to be with the Cleveland Browns, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't talk about top running back duels in the league without talking about those two. When they got together, it was crazy, and I didn't see videos of Nick Chubb squatting over 600 pounds during the offseason this year on IG. So you already know what he's going to be bringing to the table. So, I think that's going to be beneficial. Whoever their quarterback ends up being, whether it's Deshaun Watson or they have to pass it down to one of the other guys, Jacoby Brissett, I hear, is a name that's flying around. But, when you have a steady running back core and a good defense, that takes you a long way as a team. Quarterback just really needs to not make mistakes in that situation. So, speaking of quarterbacks that don't make mistakes, I'm going to finish it up with my number one team, and that's going to be with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And it's not much I can say about them that hasn't been said in the past. They're both number one talent running backs. When they put this combination together, we already knew what it was going to be, as long as they could both stay on the field. You saw them in the playoffs last year. You saw them during the regular season last year, just killing it. So, even though they lost Devontae Adams during this offseason going to Las Vegas, that's still a great compliment to Aaron Rodgers and, what they're trying to do with their offensive
talent?
Not talent. I can't think of the word right now, but their offensive strategy.
Output?
There you go, for this year. Exactly. So that's going to do it for my top five list, and I'll pass it over to Taylor so he can list off his top five running back duos.
All right. I'm going to go up to Seattle. They don't really have a quarterback up there, so they're going to have to run the ball a lot.
Chris Carson?
But no, he's not on my list.
No?
No. Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker.
Mm.
And that was the whole reason why I want to do this list. You kind of got to pick. You can pick through. Yeah, Chris. I've heard Chris Carson might not even play this year with the neck injury and stuff like that. So I don't know if they started their training camp yet. He might start on PUP, but I like Rashard Penny, who was another guy that had a really good season towards the end of the year. Finally got off the injured list and was able to put together some pretty good games in the last four or five games of the year, and he was pretty solid. He was everything that they thought he would be when they drafted him back in I think 2019, but he was hurt and he tore his ACL. Then the next year he came back from the ACL, he was hurt again. But last year he put it all together towards the end. And Kenneth Walker was a beast at Michigan State. I mean, just killing it. He's a transfer from I want to say Wake Forest. Went to the Michigan State and was just a beast. You know what I mean? So I'm going to put some respect on Rashard Penny and Kenneth Walker up in Seattle. So that's my number five. Even though people might not know about that tandem, I think they're going to do pretty good. Number four, I'm going to agree with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, just like you just said, out in Denver. They're going to be playing with Russell Wilson, and they got a crazy receiving core, Courtland Sutton, What's the kid's name? KJ Hamler from Penn State and Jerry Jeudy. So they're not going to be they're not going to have to face no 6 or 7 8-man box like the previous guys might have to because they're on the quarterback. But these guys should be able to run wild. Javonte is a pretty good receiver out the backfield. Melvin Gordon's a vet. You know, I mean, you know what he can do. They both were over 900 yards rushing last year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they up that a little bit more. Or it might be around the same thing because they both, I won't say they're similar, but Javonte the younger up the back. So I think they're going to be really good out in Denver. That's just you know, my opinion. I'm actually going to go to Miami.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to go out of Miami, and I'm going to put some respect on Sony Michel and Chase Edmonds. So
okay,
they got the new coach down there. I think his name is Mike McDaniel.
Right.
So they got Chase Edmonds, and they signed Chase Edmonds, and then they kind of just added Sony Michel, who just coming off a Super Bowl win with the Rams. So I like that little combination. I don't know about Miles Gaskins. I'm not sure about him. Usually when coaches come in, they like to, like, move around running backs and stuff like that. Yeah, so I'm going to put some respect on Sony Michel and Chase Edmonds down in Miami. I think they're going to be a duo that people are not really thinking about, but I think they're going to do very, very well.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go to number two. This is another one that might be a shocker to people. I'm going to go up to New York. We talked about this last week, but we kept messing up his name. Breece Hall and Michael Carter up in New York and in New Jersey.
The
Jets, yeah. So we couldn't get Breece Hall's name last week. I had it, but I didn't feel like saying it last week because it was in the middle of another segment. But Breece Hall, rookie out of, I want to say, Northern Iowa, and Michael Carter, who was actually a teammate of Javonte Williams when they were in North Carolina 2 years ago.
Okay.
So he's used to splitting carries. And Breece Hall is going, you know, he's a rookie. So I think both of these guys can kind of complement each other, and they can help out Zach Wilson up there. And like I said, they got a lot of receivers up there, too. They got my man from Ohio State, what's my man name? Wilson. And they got Corey Davis, and they got Elijah Moore. So, like I said, they're not, like, a lot of these guys, they're not going to have to see a 7-8-man front if they got a lot of receivers out there. Yeah. So, if your front's going to be light, you're going against like a 6-7, you should be able to find holes and be able to blast through that. So, I'm going to go with Breece Hall and Michael Carter, number two, out with the New York Jets. I think you can. Are they just going to be trash forever? I mean, eventually they got to come up. You can't be in the toilet forever. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, eventually you got to come up. Like, please. You know what I mean?
Somebody has to replace you in the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But number one's kind of a shocker. You know what I mean? But I'm expecting these two to do very, very well.
Okay.
And I might be wrong. This might be, I don't even want to say a hot take. This might just be something that I'm feeling deep down in my chest. And this is Clyde Helaire-Edwards and Ronald Jones Jr. out in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So there's no more Ty Hill. They're going to have to reconfigure the offense a little bit. But
Nicole,
I think
Hartman said he's going to step in and take that spot, but I'm not seeing it.
But they got Sky Moore that's on the back end, I mean, who they drafted in the second round. They still got Juju, and they got Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm saying it right here. Yeah. So
they also got, of course, the overreliable Travis Kelce.
Yeah, still got Travis Kelce. I mean, he's a little older this year. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year where you might see Travis Kelce, I want to say, scale back, because he's been killing it for 5 or 6 years. He'll be 33 years old in October. Okay. So, but usually tight ends can go into their late 30s, like Tony Gonzalez. And what's my man name who just retired, Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gates. Usually tight ends can go into their mid to late 30s and still be productive. So I could be right or wrong, but I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jones Jr., who was down in Tampa Bay these last couple of years, I think they're going to be a nice little duo that people might not see coming, but I think they're going to do okay. So and plus, when you're playing against Patrick Mahomes, people are going to be dropping coverages, and I think they're still gonna be giving Patrick Mahomes respect. You know what I mean? I don't think they're gonna be blitzing them like they were, you know,
last year.
Well, I won't say they're blitzing, they were dropping coverage because that's how they kind of were stopping him in the playoffs. But I think they're gonna try to, but I think once Patrick Mahomes realized that, you know, my arm is still nice and I can get it to any of the receivers, then they'll back off, and I think the running backs might take, take off. So I think right now, maybe in the first couple weeks, you might not like those guys, but like week 4, 5, or 6, I think you might see those guys kind of like putting in the work. They're both under the age of 25, so I think that they got enough, you know, enough. They both got a lot of you know, carries left in them to where, not left in them, but they're just good young backs, and they got experience and everything. Even though they're young, they have experience. Like I said, they're both under the age of 25, but they got experience. So. Gotcha. And they both been on winning teams. You know what I mean? So I like both of those, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ronald Jones Jr. to kind of like, you know, make some noise with the double running with the double running back duos this year. So that's my number one. Some of the other guys we've heard before, but sometimes what happens with when you have a guy that's been double running back, that's been doing it for a year, sometimes what will happen is they'll just end up giving it to the one guy, and the other guy gets scaled back. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the dual running backs, they only last about maybe 2, maybe 3 years. So this is kind of like a newer run. So most of my guys are kind of new on the scene.
Yeah, Taylor's got some under the radar guys for you. Yeah,
but you can still depend on the guys like the Nick Chubbs and stuff like that, and even Zeke and Tony Pollard. You still depend on guys like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one thing about the NFL right now. You have a lot of variety as far as talent around the league, especially offensively.
Yeah. Well, if you got a rookie running back, you want to get him like into the game around that midpoint of the season, and then you can just keep him running and keep your older guy or veteran guy a little bit more fresher. So I've seen this happen over the past 15, 20 years with these running backs.
Definitely keep it.
Happened with Kamara. Kamara didn't start in his first 4 or 5 games. They had Adrian Peterson, and then they got rid of Adrian Peterson. All of a sudden, Alvin Kamara was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen it happen before.
And definitely keep in mind that it's a long year. You know, just because a guy
17 games
really
yeah.
pan out during the course of the first couple of weeks, first 3, 4 weeks, doesn't mean you want to get rid of him, because if he turns up during the second half of the season, you're going to look crazy.
It happened with me with Devin Singletary. I had him the whole year. I said, yo, this boy ain't doing nothing. And I just stayed with him. I don't know what it was. And then maybe week 13 or 14, he had a good week, and I just left him in there, and he killed it.
Never look back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, getting out of top five, we're going to move into big deal, no big deal. And I'm going to start it off with a little bit of an uplifting topic. I read this week that Bruce Beach in California, which was taken from a black family, was returned to the descendants of the original owners. Big deal, no big deal.
Okay, all right then. Sounds like they're getting their reparations back. Yeah, I say it's a big deal. Anytime black people are getting something back, I'll give them, that's a big deal. Yeah, I always want black people to get what they deserve. They have everything taken from them. Now, a lot of it they're giving away, but, you know.
And that can set precedent for other areas to be able to do similar things.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I say it's a big deal. I didn't even see that story, but that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Taylor spoke about the LIV tournament a few episodes back in terms of some players who were invited to participate. But news lately says they're reaching out to a different kind of talent. Reports are they've made an offer for somewhere from $50 to $75 million to Charles Barkley. But the caveat is he would have to leave inside the NBA, the Emmy-winning TV show he's been on since 2001.
Yeah.
Big deal, no big deal.
Well, they
trying to give Chuck that bag.
Yeah, well, Chuck said he wasn't going to do that for a very long time. I think he either about to be 60. He said he didn't want to be doing that long. So I can see him actually taking this bag and leaving. But if it's for next year, I can see him doing it. But this year, maybe not. Like I said, I think, and he might even have one more year left in his contract. But I remember him saying he didn't want to be doing that, you know, as an old man and stuff like that. But right now, I say it's a no deal right now. But
so
I can
no
see,
deal. Okay.
Yeah, but I can see Chuck kind of taking that bag later on. You know what I mean? If it's still available, but you never know. But
do you think it's a deal if he leaves the inside the NBA?
He's
a big part of that show.
Yeah, but he's always said that he didn't want to do that forever. He said that every, probably like the past six, probably before Shaq even got there, he didn't want to be doing this when he was like older and stuff like that. He does it now because, you know, he's good at it and they like him, but he always did say, he took like Ernie and all of them, they know that he's not going to be there forever. So, yeah. Yeah, but it's no deal now. Until he says, yeah, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? I think he has an obligation. I think he may have one more year or this year, maybe two. His contract is not that long. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's a big deal if he ends up leaving, because that's that's something that they have to replace now. And, you know, nobody else can beat Charles Barkley.
We got big Shaq. I like Shaq, man. A lot of people don't like Shaq.
No,
I like
Shaq's
Shaq,
good
man.
On there, but the thing is that everybody kind of plays their position and plays their role.
Yeah, well, they got people underneath. They got Dwayne Wade. They got Chris Webber. What's that girl's name? Candace Parker. They got and then they have Gary. So they have people that Of course, you can't replace Chuck, but they have other people that they've been training underneath. And that's kind of what happens with some of these jobs, and even in life, people don't have the next person up if God forbid something happens to somebody. So they have a bunch of players underneath Chuck if they want to come in and step in. They can. So like I said,
next man up, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Candace Parker, she gets in the Shaq's ass every once in a while. She does.
Candace does her thing.
Yeah, she gets him in the free smoke. Dwayne Wade, not a fan.
I'm not a Chris Webber fan.
Chris Webber, yeah, I don't really. I just know he does the job. But I don't really pay him no mind. I think they had Byron. Byron Davis has been up there. They've had different people up there over the past couple of years. Yeah, so
all right, bet. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been released that Soulja Boy and a group of cats ran down on Charleston White.
Yeah,
who was talking some big about Big Draco, yeah. Only to get maced. So Charleston White had a can of that good stuff on deck and let him let off.
Yeah.
No shots was fired. But you know, everybody went their separate ways.
Yeah.
Big deal, no big deal.
It was no deal because the guns weren't drawn out. So I mean, if somebody would have got shot, then it would have been a big deal. But since there were no guns drawn, and I heard the story, he grabbed the mace from his girl's purse. Charleston White came out and said it first. Like as soon as it happened,
yeah.
He came out and snitched on himself. So he's staying formed to what he is.
He was ahead of
it. And then Drake and I keep calling him Drake. Big Draco, aka Big Soulja Boy, came out later on and said what happened. So it's no deal. This is just stuff at its finest. That's all it is to me.
Okay, well,
down in Miami.
I thought you'd be able to appreciate that.
It was cool. You know what I mean, when it happened. But I, like I said, Taylor wants mayhem. I want the Gats. I want the Rugas. I want the Calicos with the double. I want all. I want the guns
you want
out.
Let off.
Yeah, I want somebody to let off. Man, I want to shoot out somebody. Maybe get hit up hitting the ankle. You know what
that's,
I mean?
That's not right.
It's not right. But this is my life, man. I love this, man. when I'm in the confines of my own home, I like to see get it in, man. I want you to take it to the as Charlie Murphy said, the abyss. I want to go down in a toilet, man. That's what I want to see. I'm home, safe, chilling.
Take it to the extreme. Yeah,
exactly.
Baby.
I got my license firearm. I don't pull on nobody, you know what I mean? But I want these cats who are out there in the trenches, I want them to get it in. Yeah, so, but it's no deal. You know what I mean? Until the guns come out, it's no deal.
All right, well, I agree. That's no big deal. Okay. The trailers for Wakanda Forever and John Wick 4 were released this weekend. Big deal, no big deal.
It's funny, because I saw the Halloween trailer. I was like, cool. And then I saw the Wakanda trailer, and I was like, man, it's just, I don't know, it's just not the same, man. Like, I mean, Chadwick Boseman, he's a really good actor. Yeah, and they still haven't revealed who's going to be the Black Panther, but I don't know, man. I'm hoping that it does well. Tell him I have to say, it's no deal, man. I mean, I'm probably going to see it.
Did you see the John Wick 4 trailer?
No, I didn't see that one yet. Okay. But it was funny because I saw it and I thought it was like a fake trailer. A lot of people on YouTube make like fake concept trailer, not the real trailer. So, but I saw it.
There's a real one.
Yeah, but it's a real. So I'll check that one out. But it's no deal for both of them, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I want the Wakanda to do well for good, but I just feel bad because a lot of people were complaining about. They didn't want him to be replaced. Then they saw the trailer. They wanted him to be replaced or recasted. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, I'll say it's a big deal, man. The first one was a big movie, so I hope the second one can perform.
I went to the theaters to see it, man. It was a whole black function. I was there.
All right, last one I got. Michael Mann appeared on a podcast recently where he announced not only a book version of Heat 2 in the works, but also a second movie.
Who's going to be in it?
Are we here for Heat 2? Well, apparently the concept of this movie is that it's going to be a prequel to the first one. So it's going to follow
Neil McCauley.
Oh, Neil McCauley and Vincent Hanna. And the different characters as they lead up
to the
when they actually meet in the original Heat.
You say a prequel?
Yes.
That's a classic film. I don't know. I would have to see the. I don't want to see. I'm a little ambivalent right now. I'm like in the middle. That's a really good movie, and a lot of these movies, you do see how Like, they're like, this is a great movie. Like, you wonder, like, how they did it before. But then you're kind of like, I want to keep the nostalgic of just having the one. Like
you just certain things you just don't want to touch.
Right now, I'm going to say no deal because I don't know who the cast is going to be. So, are you, because both of those casts are old. They're both in their 80s. So, you have to get someone significantly younger.
Val Kilmer can't be in it because he can't talk.
Yeah, he's effed up too. He looks worse than, he's probably 20 years younger than those guys. He looks worse than Pacino and De Niro. Yeah, and they're both in their. Well, De Niro's 79, and I think Pacino's 81 or 82. But yeah, but Val Kilmer looks horrid.
But I'll agree. Right now, he too is no big deal. I gotta see it to have it.
And it also depends on how far they're going back. Are they going back to the '70s? Are going back to the '80s? I don't know. Like I gotta see who the cast is and what's the plot.
No, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Taylor, it's time for Have You Seen, Have You Heard? So. What's going on this week?
Two words. I was supposed to talk about it last week because I thought it was going to keep going, but it just stopped in the tracks. And I was kind of like, well, dang, I wanted this to keep going. Gillian Ross, man. I wanted that to keep going, man. You know what I mean? So everyone has seen Have You Seen, Have You Heard? But Gillian Ross, so they got it in last week. I think what happened was Gilly had the video with him and Lil Wayne. He kind of capped talking about something. He saw Lil Wayne. He ran away. That didn't happen because the camera was rolling. Gilly and Weezy shook hands and they just walked away. So Gilly tried to make it seem like he chased him off, something like that. So Mac Main saying, nah, man, that never happened. Blase, blah, did that, nah. And then Rick Ross, who likes to instigate everything, and he acts like he's Lil Wayne's little butt buddy. He's always getting in his beefs, and he says something to Gilly, calling him a clown or something like that. So Gilly tapes a lot of those shows. A lot of those shows are done sometimes previously, months ahead or something like that. So he responded to it and called Rick. Did he call him a clown or he called him out his name or something?
He called
like
him
that.
Something, right?
Yeah. And then Rick Ross kind of like subliminally responded, but I salute to Gilly saying this ain't what you want. You don't want to out troll the troll. I'm the troller on the streets, man. I know what I look like, but I light you up, man. So I just wanted to say, have you seen? But I thought it was going to keep going into this week, and I wanted to recap it, but it kind of like stopped in this track.
Kind of fizzled out.
You know what I mean? But yeah, but salute to Gilly.
And Ross said he was going to come out with a podcast.
But that's what Ross likes to do. Remember when he was him and 50 was going there, I'm going to come out with my own boxing league, and it never happened. He that's what his go to. I'm going to do what you're doing. He's like a little 6 year old in the yard. Ross was Nick. You with the police, man. You lied about it, and you got exposed, sir.
Get him out the sandbox, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but he's a good rapper. But yeah, I mean, salute to Gilly for saying you bought her, I caught her. I like that line. You bought her, I caught her. I like that line. We're gonna go to a breakup. Desus and Mero, it's a rap.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen, have you heard, man? Desus
and Mero from, they had the Showtime show.
They had
the podcast, Bodega Boys.
Yeah, it's over with, man.
It's a rap.
It's a rap, man.
They're going their separate ways.
No.
Apparently, they're just pursuing different creative ventures.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened was the rumor came out, and the rumor came out, 2 hours later, they said the show was not coming back on Showtime. They exposed the ratings. The ratings weren't that good. And then right after that, they said me and him, you know, we still cool, but we're just going to explore different avenues and stuff like that. So Showtime, if you want to give a show to if you got two people, you can cut the checks in half. We got somebody. I know I can give you some advice of somebody that can sit in them chairs.
Listen, they got a Showtime sports division. That's where all the smoke is on the podcast with Steven Jackson and
I'm just trying to say
Matt Barnes, salute to y'all.
There's two cats in Philadelphia.
Seems like they got some room over there.
Two cats in Philadelphia. You can pay me half of what they was giving them. I'll give you a discount.
Bust it down. We can make it happen.
I go up there and sell out and everything. Y'all can give me all types of trunk and all that stuff. I'll do it for a check. That's all they was doing was just, you know, acting like they was I don't know what side they was on, but you can just kind of tell that it wasn't the same show as they did on Vice.
I got you.
Yeah, you know I mean, but yeah, have you seen? Have you heard?
Desus and Mero was funnier on Vice.
Me too. I thought they were better on Vice. When they got to Showtime, it just wasn't the same.
Taylor, I salute to you for bringing that up though, because Showtime, get at us.
Yeah, that's the only reason I brought it up for my advantage. I'll take Deezer's check.
Let's do some business.
Get us up there. And listen, I don't care if we last two seasons. Y'all had them up there for three, and they revealed that their ratings were not that good the last 2 years. I said, well, dang, give me a season.
The people love us, man. They're good with us internationally.
Please. Yeah, give me that check.
Understand me.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I got a bunch more, but I'll just get right to the last one. The Supreme Team documentary.
We seen that.
I saw it.
Yeah.
With my own.
I saw it too. I watched it for the second time a couple days ago, just to refresh.
Drug dealing,
Queens,
dope slinging, cats. Murdering. What else was going on?
Supreme McGriff.
And,
Gerald Prince Miller.
Yeah, killing police. All that. Stuff that black people love. They love stuff like that, man. Did you see the Supreme Team? Salute to Nas. Nas did a really good job. I like what Nas is doing.
Did a fantastic
on this
job
second half.
Directing
on this, I won't say set, but he's doing a good job. He did another documentary. Was it about a year or so ago? With the Music Box up in New York. That was dope.
And whoever was in charge of the music, if that was Nas, salute to you.
Yeah, I like the Black Zombies at the end. That was like a really, really good. He could easily play one of his old school joints, but for him to play Black Zombies going out of the at the end of it, that was a good touch.
Did you hear what he played at the end of the first episode?
What did he play at the first? Wasn't it? What did he play? Mobb Deep?
No, man. The end of the first episode. Hold on, real quick. I got it right here.
I know after the second one, he played like some.
After the second one, he played Tom Brown.
Tom Brown.
Funkin' for Jamaica.
Oh yeah, Funkin' for Jamaica. He did play that. What did he play after the first?
At the end of the first one, he played Kenny Burke, Rising to the Top.
Yeah, he did.
It don't get no better.
No, it was. I thought the whole thing was good, but some people just look real suspect in that joint. Irv Gotti, you're a groupie.
Oh no,
he's Irv. A groupie. Yeah. He got exposed. Yeah, you know what I mean, I wouldn't. I never saluted Ja Rule in my life. Salute to him for not being on there, because he knew he was going to look bad. So he said, nah, I'll pass.
He knew what it was him for.
Yeah, and I got some free smoke for Ashanti. She looked like an imbecile. She like a groupie. Oh, Kenneth, he was all cute with his brown eyes. Ashanti, can you give us like some meat and potatoes of who this man was? Like, you just up there being a groupie for a drug dealing. Come on, man, stop it. That's old enough to be your father. Knock it off. You know what I mean? But suit the LL. He had to he didn't even remember he was even around. That's how you know LL had a great career. But I want you to. I'm going to ask you, who was the real gangster of the documentary? That's what I want you to tell me. Who was the real gangster? I'll tell you.
The real gangster.
The real gangster of the documentary. You probably missed who it was. I'll tell you exactly who it was.
I think I know who you're talking about. Are you talking about you talking about one of the police officers, right?
Oh, it was that. I would not want to be around him.
It was a couple. There was the white man.
No.
who was a housing officer.
Yeah.
This man said it was a great time during that time.
Yeah.
Locking people up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the brother that lived down the street from
that's
my man.
Right there. Sterling Johnson Jr. I got his name. Sterling Johnson Jr. He was a narcotics prosecutor.
He wasn't a cop. He was a prosecutor.
That's why the got locked up because he stayed two blocks. So they's always thinking somebody snitching. No, you're down the street from a state prosecutor. That's how you got locked up.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. So you guys talk about 50 Cent. And it was funny when they told the one boy, he said, I didn't know he lived down that block.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all talking about this person. Y'all was doing all that stuff, and the man lived right up the street who just reported on y'all. Salute to him. He said, I was up in the barbershop and I had to get underneath the coat.
And he said,
Don't turn me around. You know what I mean?
If they come in, get me, but I'm gonna get them.
I'm gonna get them first. That was the gangster. I've seen him before. I've seen him do interview over New York stuff before. So salute to him, man. But
yeah, he was serious. He was about his business.
He was about that. He was about that action, man. Now, not none of them cats that was running the streets and stuff like that. That was right there.
And he locked him up.
And locked him right on up. So y'all talking about this person? No, y'all was right down the street from the man. He knew what y'all was doing.
Yes,
he knew everything y'all was doing. You know what I mean, so but yeah. Supreme, look, he just looked dusty to me, man. Salute to his nephew. He seemed like he found the error of his rate, but Supreme McGriff just looked dusty, man. He was on vapor trails when he got out of jail, getting loans from Irv Gotti and Jay-Z, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of lost respect, because when people used to talk about him, I would be like, oh, okay, but I didn't really have no respect for that cat like that, man. You know what I mean? I do hope that someone that Gerald Miller Prince, I hope he gets out. You know what I mean? Because he caught a bad one. They was trying to put a lot of stuff on him, and he didn't even do. You know what I mean? But But both of those guys, they were suburban kids, man. They started selling drugs.
It's a rat for Prem. He caught a body.
Yeah, exactly. He caught a body. Yeah, he don't need to get out of nowhere. He was on the run in Houston and Chicago and all, I know in Miami. But I thought the all around it was good. But some people look bad. Irv looked like a groupie. That's what he looked like to me. A pure groupie. Him and his brother, groupies.
And got pulled into it. Yeah, got sucked dry for all your bread.
Salute to Irv Gotti for saying, man. Well, when I got locked up, Supreme told me, don't even and get involved with me. Yeah, I bet you did say that, Negro. You didn't want to get involved with his body, but that's my friend. If that's your friend, y'all should have been co-defendants together. But you knew how to separate yourself from him. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but I thought it was all around it was good. They put the 50 Cent stuff in there too.
Yeah.
That was like a little small tidbit, you know what I mean? But yeah. They did my man eat money bags dirty though. That was dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
Got shot in the leg and you drive 10 minutes out the way and then you have someone else take him to the hospital and he bled out. So that was your fault. And I'm sorry, Black Just. I'm getting confused. Black Just got shot and then E-Moneybags got shot at some type of picnic.
Some type of family function.
Yeah, yeah. You
on an off day.
Yeah. That's why Taylor's in the suburbs.
It's no off days in the game.
That's why
Taylor. I mean, it's unwritten rules.
Taylor stays in the suburbs, man.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. But that was the last one. Have you heard the Supreme team? I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Nas did a very, very great job, as I've said a few times. Salute to him.
I wasn't impressed, but I wasn't impressed by the drug dealer, but I was impressed by what Nas did as a whole.
Getting
police and getting people who were around him and
the mayor up there.
Yeah, some of the little cronies out in the streets running
all their females.
Running packs
on there
and all that stuff. And the I like who he interviewed, yes.
Well, not all their females, but
a couple of them. That one chick with the freckles, she was kind of hot.
Ooh,
the black chick. Well, I forget her name. Well, that was Gerald's ex-wife. Yeah, she left that in the jail cell. She said, "I'm not holding you down."
All right. Well, we're gonna move into the common sense space, and our common sense space topic for this week is: does money that comes from something bad change if you do something good? I was watching King of New York yesterday, and that's a movie that a lot of people, appreciate. I believe it's a classic. But it's a movie that a lot of people idolize and feel like, you know, that's kind of a blueprint for getting in the game. So that's my question for y'all, and that's where it came from. Does money that comes from something bad, because, you know, Frank White was getting that drug money and killing people, but he was trying to do good things, build hospitals, contribute to his community, do things that are beneficial to other people other than just himself, with the money that he was getting from bad things. So in my opinion, that's something that's been going on for a really long time. even going back to like the music business, people done been sucking artists dry for years and using their money for this, that, and the third, whether it's something personal or it's something that benefits the community, quote unquote. So, if you can benefit from it, I can't knock it. I don't think it's something I would do personally, but at the end of the day, the money don't got no owners. It only got spenders. So where the money comes from, that's kind of a moot point.
Doesn't matter.
I don't want your dirty money.
Yeah. So Taylor, what do you think?
This whole world was built off bad or blood money. I like to call it blood money. I forget bad money. Blood money. This whole world is built off blood money. The reason why we can go to the mall and spend up a bunch of money and have unprotected sex and listen to all types of crazy music and cuss out people at the drive-thru is because, you know, people are going overseas, you know, killing whoever they got to kill and coming back over here
and keeping us free.
You know what I mean? All these, you know, wars, they're financed by money. You know what I mean? And so that could be, so some little 11 or 12-year-old with a bazooka gets killed and then we get to live over here and live the great life. You know what I mean? So that's what the whole world is pretty much built
that's
on.
That's what it's all about,
I don't know where I heard, but somebody somebody had bought some property. I think it used to be like a cemetery. They mowed down the cemetery and started building houses on top of it and stuff like that, man. So there's people I've heard all kinds of stories of stuff like that, to where people just, you know, use their money to where it could be considered negative, you know what I mean? But they building up something else, and then, you know, years go by and you don't even ask no question. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure some of these some of these towns, I'm pretty sure they got their horror stories from back in the day, you know what I mean? You know, we all know about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all that stuff. They went and destroyed that. You know what I mean? And
blew it up.
Who knows what it is right now? But it's probably something positive. And people that live there don't have no clue what happened. We all heard about that town down in Atlanta. They flooded it, mm-hmm. Lake Lanier, and the black people they told them to leave. They didn't leave, and they flooded it out.
We know all about Katrina and New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. So people have been doing stuff like this for years. You know what I mean? I don't know who these people are. I don't know if they even have names. Maybe you do know who they are, but people have been doing this for you. Someone's going to end up getting the short end of the stick, but at the end of the day, they're going to be doing it for the greater good. So, like I said, it's been going on for years. I remember when they made 476, they had to pay those. That was like an actual valley where people lived in their houses and stuff like that. But 470s, I remember my father, when he first moved here, it wasn't even completed yet, but they had to get some people off that land to get to where you gotta have the transfer from the Pennsylvania Turnpike to 95. There was nothing there. They built it within I think 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. But it's for the greater good. Like right now, we weren't even born when it happened, but somebody got displaced or something like that. But you know, you can say, oh, that was bad, but you know, it wasn't bad because now you got the highway, no one thinks about it no more. So in due time, you don't even think about what happened before anybody else was even around. So
they say you can't stand in the way of progress.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that we live now that we have right now is because it was bad at first, but now it's all good. It's all good. The hood, as they say. So I don't, you know.
Well,
you can look at it different ways if you want to.
E, what say you?
All right. Well, there are people out there with morals, right? As you know, as they say, morals. So, say I went to the Shake Shake Club and the girl was just collecting dollars. You know. Some of the Bible belters might say that's sinful and dirty money. But is the landlord going to care how you got that money?
Nope.
He just wants to make sure you got that on the first.
Is her son going to care that he got brand new Jordans up on his feet?
Lunch money.
Exactly.
McDonald's at night for dinner.
I always say this. The government hates certain entities because they absolutely just can't collect.
Yeah.
They're like they're the gangsters of the United States. Yo, mm-hmm. they suck us dry for our overtime, or if you make a little bit, they take enough from you just so you can, you know, if you're doing it legit.
Yep.
If you making enough to be super comfortable, they taking enough that you just super on edge to make sure you trying to be super comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, they gangsters. They keep people in their place, and they taking everybody and claim they dishing it out or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, drug dealers and things like that, people in disenfranchised areas, they had to figure out how to get it.
Yep.
And some people cope with it sucks. Like, drugs is garbage.
Yeah.
You know? But it's crazy how you can figure out how to get money when you want something bad enough.
In the worst possible situation.
So, you know, how dirty is the money? I don't know. Because I just think the United States deems anything they can't collect off of bad. And that sounds like, you know... That sound like some gangster stuff to me.
So that's a little sus, a little shaky.
Yeah. So I mean, now if you're gonna take that money and do, it was a whole lot of Bumpy Johnsons taking some of that money and giving turkeys and helping some people out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, if you taking from the bad and giving to the good, I guess it could be a little good. You know, because. You know, some people, they got lost. I know you made a decision. I don't know. That needle, to me, that's a decision because that thing hurt. It hurt.
Yeah.
So that's like a sound decision in most cases, you know.
All right.
So I don't know, man. If you turn around and you doing something to build up some parts, you know, but ain't no honor amongst criminals no more. Back in the day, I used to know some dope boys, some drug dealers around the way that did stuff for kids and things around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the era that I come from. What's going on now, I don't know. Everybody is cutthroat. But I do know some dope boys that used to do some stuff around the neighborhood. So, salute to them. I mean, they made their money, and they flossed, and they did their thing. But it was kids who needed stuff around the way. It was people, you know, there was some houses that some of the older folks needed help with. You know what I'm saying? Even if they paid the local crackheads to go take care of their yard or do something. I just knew some of the dope boys from back in my time, they did stuff for people around the neighborhood. They just wasn't just bleeding out the crackheads because they knew that some of them crackheads was breaking back in some of them houses. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And to get that money. And I knew a couple of them personally who were like, I'm sorry that happened, blah, blah, blah. Here goes something to get that fixed or to replace that. And that's what they did. But they don't have honor like that no more. That's why it's out of control, because there's no leaders anymore. It's just everybody a chief now. So, but,
you know. Pookie, what happened to you? Come on, Nino. You know I look like stir-fried that's what I was thinking about when Nina was giving out the turkeys.
She want some more. You want some more? You want the whole turkey?
You don't deserve that turkey.
Oh. Talking about the prom queen. You the prom fiend.
You the prom fiend.
Mm.
You don't deserve that turkey.
You selling poison to your own community.
Worshiping them idols.
Oh my God.
Little white devils.
Yeah. As long as it goes to something positive. I mean, like I said, look at the dead hypocrites that we collect in our pockets every day. I know they got stories.
And that's funny. Oh, George, you brought up George
Washington, didn't he own slaves at one point? So, yeah, you know I mean, all those people that we put in our pockets that we spend money on, they got stories too, and they on the dollar bill.
Hey, you know what?
A $5 bill, $10, all that. All them cats got history. You can do your Googles and you can Google every Hamilton, all those cats.
Can I say something? Can I ask y'all something?
Yeah.
I forgot to ask y'all about this on Thorna. Have you seen? Have you heard?
Yeah.
I slid out. They going in on Pastor T.D. Jakes.
For what now?
Have you seen or heard about that?
No.
He was talking about females or something like that?
He was like, you know, basically he was saying.
I saw the sermon.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, was he like, agreeing with Kevin Samuel or something like that?
It was almost something like that.
More or less.
Yeah, some more or less. He was saying like, you know, how like the black families are raising black women to be like black men. And now all of a sudden the women went slap stupid.
Mm-hmm. I saw it last night. Yeah, I heard about a couple doing. I actually saw it last night. But
when you raising your daughter to believe that she don't need a man and she can be independent and you know this, that, and the third, like,
yeah, I like T.D. Jakes. I like the big church and everything like that, and I like what he says. Remember, he had something way back in the day called "Women Thou Art Loose." Am I saying it right?
Thou Art Loose.
He had a play and then he put out a movie, so he's been on this wave for a little while. Maybe he kind of fell back off and went to the other problems and with black people, but I'm not mad at what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we just took a turn.
Yeah, we did.
But yes, I did see it. Yeah, I didn't know he was getting flack about it. I thought he was spitting facts.
Some of these women is putting a petition for him to be gone.
Oh,
well, when you call certain people out on stuff, they can't handle that. So.
No, they can't.
They come back with the pitchforks and the torches, tiki torches.
Now there are certain things that you know you could be like, if it don't apply to me,
yeah,
I ain't gonna worry about it. Now,
if
the president of the United States came on TV and started calling black people the N-word, then you know I'd be like, yo, that apply to me. I don't like you.
Yeah,
but facts. Him saying the truth,
yeah,
about some, he ain't say all, but yeah, it's really happening.
It applies to some.
You got a lot of these women trying to be like, I'm the You see yeah, it on TV. I'm the mother and a father.
I don't like
no,
that.
You are the mother.
Yeah, I don't like when these girls are having these children and they thinking they can do it with, just like what Chris Rock said, just because you can do it don't mean it's to be done. Yeah, you can be a single mom, but if you have a guy that you have that has a baby with, work it out, man. I mean, like, I don't like seeing the kids without both parents. I just don't like that, man. You shouldn't have to do it by yourself.
Well, you shouldn't, but you got to remember, especially when you young.
Yeah,
they're just situations, man. Because boys ain't mature. Yeah. We don't mature. Some of us damn near until we are mid 30s, and that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you talking about a lot of these? Like, first of all, what we need to do is we need the mothers to be mothers.
We took a turn.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We need the mothers to be mothers and tell these daughters that these boys don't care about being a daddy right now.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not being taught these lessons, and then now they stuck with kids. And you expect? I'm telling you right now, as a man, when I was 14, anywhere between 17 to 20 something, I wasn't interested in being your daddy.
Not,
I just wasn't.
You're not trying to be in the house with
I'm not trying to do that.
One chick.
And women. And for some reason, some women. And I'm not saying all, but a lot of y'all women think that just because y'all simply had this guy's baby, that he's going to want to be a daddy, or it's going to change him. You're not God.
Nope.
And you cannot change a man's mind. You can motivate that man in certain ways, whether you're doing it the bad way, going through the system or whatever, but you're not going to change his mind about how he feels. And not everybody cares to have a child with somebody.
Nope.
And you could be like, well, he shouldn't have laid down. Well, you could, you know, I'm not saying what you could do and what you can't do, because I don't want to catch flack. But I'm just saying, everybody has a level of responsibility to prepare themselves.
I said it weeks ago. You got a choice to either have that condom on or have that birth control. You got a choice. You've always had a choice. But once you take that raw pipe, there's no going back. And some of these guys, you know what these guys are. You know that these guys are losers, busters, clowns. they don't have no care in the world. They smashing you and they smashing Tanya around the corner. But and you know what it is. You know what I mean? So you can't get mad at him being who he is. A leopard don't change his stripe. Like you said, men mature later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The salute to a lot of men that they like to wait until they have children, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you, most of the time you're going to live a quote unquote long life. So you have time, but you don't, like, when you're young. When I was like 21, I wasn't ready to be nobody's father. Are you kidding me? I was out running the streets and strip clubs. I wasn't ready. Women,
out here moving and shaking.
Yeah, y'all here moving and shaking. Yeah, you know I mean, so we took a turn.
Yeah, we did. And I wanted to say that it was funny that you brought it back to New Jack City, because New Jack City was loosely based on the Supreme Team.
It based it on like at least four or five drug dealers.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then they just made a fictional character. But it was based off of a bunch
loosely
of
based on yeah. that situation.
Did a cop get shot in New Jack City?
No.
I know something happened.
I mean, a cop got shot killed. At the
no,
end.
He yeah, then something. Well, That Carter,
actually a lot of cops, remember he was like, not to mention all the cops we got, he said cops.
Yeah there was certain things, like I forget which drug dealer had like a whole apartment building
that was them.
Yeah it was them.
It was Baisley.
They took like three or four whether it be Fat Cat, they took a bunch and combined it into one Nino Brown. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
They took a lot of it and stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of the stories and stuff like that. The funeral, not the funeral, was it the what's the name getting shot up and stuff like that. A lot of it was taken but this is like in the early 90s, so you can't really tell those stories because those stories are still going on. But now that we're in the 2000s right now, you can see they took from Fat Cat, they took from Supreme, they took from Nicky Barnes. They just combined them all into one.
Okay.
To Nino Brown. Yeah.
So this Wednesday, July 27th, marks the 40th birthday of Buffalo's own West Side Gunn, co-founder and CEO of Griselda Records.
Mm.
So in honor of West Side Gunn,
hey yo,
we're gonna do our top five.
Notice
West
he starts
Side Gunn songs.
He starts every song with "Ayo." You notice that, right?
Yeah.
Ayo. Griselda Records, man.
Absolutely. Boom, 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 boom,
yeah.
boom.
Boom, boom, boom. All that stuff. And all the machine. I can't do it. Every time he does, I can't do it. I be in the car, as I tell you. just listen to the music. Then keep your suburban eye, keep your suburban ass, your eyes on the road, nigga. Don't be trying to do gunshots like a nigga from Buffalo, New York.
All right, so at number five on my list, I got a recent song. It's called Peace Fly God, his most recent album. It's called Derek Bowman.
That song is hard.
And I just like that Stove Guy came on and shouted out Derek Coleman with yes, the 44 when he played for the Sixers.
Yes, he did.
That was dope.
I like that track.
So number four, I'm going to take it to a joint that was a little further back. It was off of Fly God. It's called Mr. T.
Yeah.
And I feel like he repeats something on that song. I don't know what it is, but a lot of them songs, they don't have hooks.
No.
They just keep going straight through.
It just raps.
It's kind of rare that they have a hook. And no transition between people if it's features on the song and just keep it moving.
Yeah. I like how the way he makes music. It's not, it's kind of unorthodox, but it works.
It's not really conventional.
Yeah.
But it's dope.
It's really about the beat and how whoever comes off, and like you said, there's no hooks or nothing like that. Every once in a while he'll do a hook, but
yeah.
It's just mostly just, yo, let's just basically do a freestyle on a song.
Just spit.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get the engineer to construct everything and make it sound nice.
Make it sound good.
But it's like beautiful noise.
So number three, I got another joint off Peace Fly Guide and this big bracelet.
Yeah.
And that joint is dope too.
That sample is dope, yeah.
When the beat comes on, that joint is smooth. But I bang with that joint hard. Number two, I'm gonna go to a joint off Hitler Wears Hermes 7. Mm. And that's Lucha Bros. Featuring Currency and Benny the Butcher.
I like the Lucha Bros right out the front though.
Don't come outside. Sting versus Flair. How dare he try to be us? Mm. That joint is hard, man.
I wish us. What'd he say? Something about them coming out with them shots. That was when Currency spit that verse. I was like, oh, that nigga sound angry.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about Nipsey. Yeah, I like that. That's a dope song. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And number one, a joint off Supreme Blind Tell, Guys Don't Bleed.
Guys
featuring
don't
Benny the Butcher and Jadakiss. And I should have brought this up in my top five Jadakiss features, because when my man says, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you that everybody is trash.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hard, I felt that. That was a hard bar. But yeah, guys don't bleed. That's a hard joint too.
God is the greatest. You can never be famous. That's a hot song.
Uh-huh.
That's literally the first song. Like, no intro. Just let's just start right now.
Let's just start that joint. And the way it comes along.
Yeah, that's a hot song.
Yeah, that joint is hard.
What he said? Something. I fell in love with my first wife. Yeah, the bars are crazy on that joint.
Had my first daughter with my first wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was hard.
Yeah. All right, so Taylor, what you got for your top five?
All right,
Westside Gunn song.
So what I had to do was I didn't want to do any of the features he'd done with his cousin or his older brother. So I just left it to just Westside Gunn. But I think the first one I'm about to name, that's kind of like a feature. But he did a joint with MF Doom. The song is called Gorilla Monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
they make a lot of wrestling references.
Well, a lot of my songs got wrestling. That song is hard. Just listen to the beat, man. My bedroom got a bedroom. My be dancing like, yo, he just says like the most randomest stuff, man. Like, I love that song, man. Yeah, but Westside Gunn, and he's got a MF Doom on that second verse. That beat is just so haunting. Like, I don't know how they. Oh, well, Derringer does the most, their in-house producer who they use all the time.
Yeah.
That beat is just super fire, man. So yeah, that's one of my favorite joints. Gorilla Monsoon off the Westside Doom. It's like only two songs, and came out maybe 2017. I think I heard that on the radio. I was like, yo, man. I'm Shazamming all this stuff. I said, Taylor, why don't you just go on what's it called? Spotify, and just follow this nigga, bro. it took me like a year to, like, let me just, because I'm keep Shazamming all his songs. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Let me just get down.
Yeah. Number four, I'm going to go to Hitler Wears Hermes 3.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Winter Bloody Fear.
Okay.
I'm sniffing gunpowder. Like, he just said the most random. Just said the most randomest stuff. It's a two beat joint. So he starts off rapping, stops it, and then the second half is I dropped a tear and ghost shot roller. Like, he just always got these random like these lines like that. And the crazy thing was, before he got arrested, and he used to rap like regular. Like, he used to rap like pretty much everyone else. But I saw an interview where he said he took 7 years off of rapping, and then he started back rapping after he got out, I think in 2012. By that time, he's almost 30 years old. He just switched it up, and he just says like the most random stuff. Sometimes it don't rhyme, and sometimes it's just a chant, but yeah, it just all molds together. Yeah, you know I mean,
flows.
It just flows.
It
you
works.
Know what I mean? Yeah. So Dear Winter, Bloody Fear. That's a hot song, man. And it's him by himself for almost 5 minutes just going off. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's the most of the song. When he's by himself just rapping, he's actually pretty dope.
He could definitely hold down the track.
Yeah. Number three, Taylor's Gotta Get Ratchet. Song's called Drive By Love. It's Fly Ooh. God. It's an awesome guy too. Cussing, talking about having sexual relations with a woman. I'm not going to repeat what he was saying because he's going to be bleeping me out and blurring me out. It's one of those Akineli type songs. He's just talking reckless about.
Reckless.
Yeah. I don't think it's on the Fly Guy. They took it off because somebody else used that same beat later on that year, so he didn't get licensed for it. But it's on YouTube somewhere. But
okay.
I fell in love when you cooked that brick naked. Ooh, that's all I can say. And everything else after that is just pure pandemonium.
Just goes downhill from
there. Yeah, just goes downhill from there. It's just a disgusting song.
Pull up the track if you feel it.
The song's only like a minute and a half long, but it's a beautiful filthy song. Yeah, and Keisha Plum's on that too, doing her spoken word, but she's talking reckless too. But great song.
That's some Taylor stuff.
Yeah. Number two, I'm gonna go to the Fly Guy too, but I'm gonna go with Gustavo.
Ooh, Gustavo.
Powell dropped the grip, Jerry the King Lawler. Like, yo, man, he just says the most randomest stuff, man. Like Gustavo off the Fly Guy album, which I said, yeah, I was happy that album was on the top 100, 200. 100 rap albums. Yeah. That album is very, it's fire. He got a song called Omar's Coming. Him, Rock Marciano, and Conway. Hot song.
We have an episode called Omar's Coming.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. But yeah, Gustavo's just a great song. He's doing what he gotta do. But that's off the first Fly God album way back in 2016. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's
hard.
That song is hard, you know what I mean? But number one, I'm gonna have to take it to Supreme Blind Tail too, but Tail's gonna take it to Elizabeth.
Ooh.
I know some running around with the prince. Oh, I love that song. Can't nobody with me. I'm that one. Keep that Mac-10 for that fuckery. Get you some. Wish she ain't gonna can see me now. Oh, I love that song, man. Yeah, that's him and Alchemist at their best in 2018 on that Supreme Blind Tell album. That whole album got bangers. RVD is a hard song, but that Elizabeth song with those drums and salute to Mick Foley at the end. That's what I said. Like, Mick Foley at the end when he put the wrestling stuff in there.
Yeah.
I remember when I first listened to it, I said, I know who that is, but I got to listen to it again. So I listened to it again, and I said, I think that's Mick Foley when he was talking to Chris Benoit, because Supreme Blind Tell was supposed to be called Chris Benoit, but he didn't name it that, because most people that wrestling, it was what happened with Chris Benoit. You talk about Ratchet.
Ooh.
That was crazy, but he named it. But he changed it to Supreme Blind Tub, which was actually a better name for the actual CD album. And that album's a classic. I mean, with the guys
no
don't
doubt.
Bleed and Elizabeth,
for
Mean
sure.
Gene. It's got bangers all up and down on Supreme Blind Tub. But that's one of my favorite songs. It's just him by himself, just spitting. And like I said, the Mick Foley at the end talking when he was a commissioner, that tops it off for me. And Elizabeth, of course, he named it after what's the name, Macho Man's girlfriend, who died of cocaine too. So everything comes back in full circle with this man with cocaine and drugs and everything. So that's my favorite joint, Elizabeth off of Supreme. I can listen to that at least once a week. That's a hard song.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our second edition of Top 5.
Yeah.
Salute to West Side Gun. Have a happy born day.
Got another album coming out later on this year.
I'm sure he does. They put out a whole lot of music.
Yeah.
So y'all bang with Griselda. Salute to y'all as well. If not, get up on them. And sliding out of that, we're going to finish up this week's episode with T's thoughts. So, Taylor, what you got for him?
I want to talk to the young lady up at Sesame Street with the young kids, man. Or with one was her daughter, and one was her niece or something like that. And I saw that was it Tamika Mallory? They did like a press conference or something like that over this stuff. But the kids not being respected and something like where the kids were getting pushed.
Yeah, I saw some of the video footage.
Yeah,
the person in the costume was like they was bullying the little child.
Well, Taylor's about to sim right now, girl. If you need she's from Philly. If you need a boyfriend, call me. I want to be there for you. You might be able to get a check. I don't know. Taylor's here for you. You know what I mean?
Taylor's here to console. Yeah, Taylor is the shoulder to cry on.
But I saw like all the videos that were kind of compiled, and I was like, yeah, it is a little bit. You know what I mean? Weird that the mascots, they call them mascots or what do they call them?
The characters.
Characters are kind of like shoving off the little kids and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But they see that's, I'm glad I'm not a father. I would have saw that with my own two eyes. I probably would have, the head would have been coming off. Like you're going to acknowledge my son or something like that or my kid. You know what I mean? So, but that's all I want. Taylor's just making a plea. How you doing, young lady?
Baby girl, he's Philly. Here for you.
I think we may have followed her. I think I followed her on IG.
Ooh,
I
don't look know up the show.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah. But I want to just salute her for seeing something that was wrong, and she went to the actual people at the park. That's kind of where I want to go to, because she saw something wrong with her children there, and they kind of shoot her off. So even though a lot of people were kind of like mad at her, I'm happy that she went and said something, because if you don't feel right, remember, you spend your money to go to these places, and you feel like you're not being treated or respected, go and tell somebody. And if people don't say nothing to you, then take it to the top. You know what I mean? If that's how you feel, you know what I mean? Because maybe she'd been there before and it happened again. She let it slide. And the second time she said, oh, no, I'm not letting it slide.
I'm going to just ask you this question.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a basketball game, football game, baseball game, and stood
with
at
the mascots?
No. And stood at the gate.
Hell no.
Hold on.
Tell's not a groupie.
Okay. If you ever stood at the gate at the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
where the players come out, they go to the bus, the parking lot, and sometimes you'll put your hand out.
Yeah.
And they will walk right past you.
Absolutely.
Do you get to make that national news?
Well, most of those people that are outside of those basketball games, these are grown-ass people. Man. I saw little girls.
Don't you pay to go to the game? Don't you pay a lot of money to go to the game
and watch them play basketball? You're not guaranteed no damn autograph. That's extra. I don't mind the athletes curbing people
when you go to the amusement park, are you? Does anywhere does it say you're guaranteed that the character is going to slap your child's hand?
It's not about slapping the child's hand. The character had to crotch up in the baby's face.
The crotch? What?
Yes.
Have you ever seen... have you ever been a mascot?
Hell no. Why the hell would I want to be a mascot
I have.
No.
I have, okay?
Hell no.
I was the Panther for Mask Mom, okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You have very limited vision in those suits.
You might, but just don't get that.
I like how the vision got dark when the black kids came up. Taylor being real black right now. Taylor may come up here and talk wreck about black people, but I don't like people disrespecting black children. I don't
especially
like that.
Babies,
Taylor's always gonna be for always be for family. Now if you're a grown man trying to get a Shaq's autograph, you ain't owed nothing. Get your
I'm talking about, man, I was a kid out there.
Yeah.
I was a little kid buying my tickets to the Phillies games and stuff like that to see my favorite stars. And they walk right by you.
And you saw the baseball game, right?
Yeah.
And at the bottom of it, does it say, and when you're done, you can go down to the place and get yourself autographed. It don't say that.
Well, where do I say you got to get a hug from a character?
I just want a handshake. I just want a fist bump.
I wanted that from the players.
We at a park. We supposed to be having
my
fun.
My hand like this. They walk.
Okay, we took another turn.
No, it's not another turn. I'm just bringing another point. I'm not saying that Taylor is wrong under no circumstances. Ooh. But I'm just saying there are situations where you pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get curved, or you might not get seen. Like, yo, that's a big, that's a lot of people. You're in a suit. Shoot, they might have been high. I would be.
I do want to salute the athletes that that sign everyone's stuff. There's a couple of athletes that I've read, they sign everything. You know what I mean? I can't name off the top of my head, but they sign everything. Whatever it be, training camp.
That Scottie Pippen thing kind of messed people up.
What does Scottie Pippen do?
Scottie Pippen the future.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
you know what happened.
I think Future was lying. I think he was capping.
But
he said he met him and then yeah, nigga, that's why I smashed your wife. You got 25 years of animosity in your heart when you was a little tyke. I'm gonna smash his wife when I get old and become a superstar. I think he was capping.
But what was I gonna say? Something good did come from this Sesame Place situation, because I saw in the news where I didn't know this before, but black people actually started Sesame Street.
Yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, like back in the day. In Harlem, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think they probably sold it to some white people or something like that, yeah. But I didn't like the videos of the, like, me, I'm desensitized to a lot of stuff, so I don't really care. But I didn't like, if you take your child to something and the mascot is, like, curbing you, but then they see the white kids and they're being all buddy-buddy. I didn't like, now, maybe these are isolated situations or stuff like that, but me, if I was a father, Taylor probably would have blacked out in the park and I would have been on World Star for something else. I'm like, yo, you let me snatch this thing off your head. You gonna acknowledge my kids. Now, I done spent $100 and some odd. I'm up in this damn heat. And I know you're up in that suit. You gonna give my so-and-so a high five.
Turned up like the Fresh Prince episode with Dougie.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a father. What's that movie? 9 months with Tom Arnold and Hugh Grant. He beat the mascot up in the store when he was.
That's what I'm saying.
But he was cussing and stuff like that.
In that Fresh Prince episode, he put hands on Dougie.
Yeah, I don't like the kids being disrespected. You know what I mean? Now, if you're a grown. And if you're 15, when you're 15, 16, I consider you grown. So if you don't get an autograph from Bradley Beal or somebody like that, I don't really care about that. But when you're young, you're innocent, and you just see a character from Sesame Street, come on, man, give him a handshake. Come on now. Or at least just have your hand just slap everybody's hand. How about that?
Keep it respectful and keep it moving.
Yeah, just go down the line and slap everyone's hand, and then you're going. But it's kind of like you're going back and forth. Just slap everybody's hand, and then until the parade's over, you take the thing off your head and take yourself your little sniff or your drink, whatever you do, and then you go back to your life. You know what I mean? But I don't like the kids being violated. But I'm not a parent, so maybe it's just me. I don't like seeing the kids get disrespected. They're only kids. They're innocent. That's the only innocent thing we have in this world, are innocent kids. Once you turn 13, 14, 15, you're out here killing people.
It's kind of downhill from
there. Yeah, you're out here committing crimes.
All right. Well, I do have a couple of announcements this week. First of all, salute to the young man, Kenny Lofton Jr., rookie pick of the Memphis Grizzlies, who did his thing in the summer league.
Did he make the team?
I believe so.
Okay, all right.
But we're still in the process, so he might still be under his G League contract.
Okay, all right.
But if you don't know this kid, look him up. He gets busy. Taylor, have you seen him?
Yeah, I saw him play. Yeah, it's funny. He kept saying Lofton Jr. I said, that's his son. Why are y'all not referring to him?
No, that's not actually his son.
That's not his son?
No, this is unrelated.
His name is just happened to be Kenny Lofton Jr.?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I thought that was his son.
His parents did something completely different. I looked the kid up.
Oh, okay.
He's of no relation to Kenny Lofton, the baseball player.
As far as
children, he might be like a cousin or an uncle or something like that, but I don't know.
All right,
and salute to Joey Badass for dropping a new joint this weekend called 2000.
Yeah,
after a few spins, I feel it's a good body of work. And the reason I say after a few spins is because I feel like you have to sit with music to really grade it. But you know, he's got a good summer vibes on there, and production from Static Selector and Mike Will Made It, among some other cats. So salute to Joey Badass for putting something else solid out.
Yep, Diddy was on it. Nas didn't rap, but he was talking on it.
He talked a little bit.
And the song West Side Gun is hard. Yep. And he got another song with Chris Brown that was pretty good too. Yeah, I liked it. He's still young. He's not even 30 years of age yet, but I like the project. And he's kind of been doing the acting thing. He was in that short film that got the Oscar like 2 years ago. So he's kind of been doing dual. But I like this album. It's pretty solid. I always liked his stuff. I didn't know he was that young, but I remember him like 9-10 years ago.
He was on the Raising Kanan show, the power joint.
Yeah, dude, he been doing acting and stuff like that. Raising Kanan and that short film he was in. Check the short film out on Netflix. It's actually pretty good. It's kind of like Groundhog Day / police brutality. It's pretty good.
So salute to Jovan, man. Keep doing your thing out here.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for us this week. Season 4, episode 18. Follow us on Twitter and IG at Sleepers For You. That's SLEEPIS, the number 4YOU. Look out for episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Podbean, Samsung Podcast, Player FM, or YouTube. Look up sleepersforyou.com. Taylor, anything else you got to say to the people?
Nah, man. Stay cool.
Absolutely, because this heat wave is vicious. It's crazy outside of Philly right now. I stepped in my car earlier. I turned on the air, and it was hot air coming out. I was like, ah! I need automatic start. E, anything else you want to say to the people?
Hey, be safe. Stay hydrated. Watch it. Watch your elders and, you know, people who can't, who, you know, who don't, may not have access to AC. You know, just check on check on people, man.
Absolutely. If,
check on them.
Your neighbors, your relatives, all that good stuff. All
right.
Heat stroke is real.
That's it.
All right. So that's going to do it for us. We'll get back with y'all next week. Might have a little surprise for y'all. But water. Yeah. We back. Yeah.
Free to return to that emo rap. Ain't no kilo stash. Augusta's son had to reload that. Daddy gone, but his legacy strong. How do you figure? I too thought I'd be dead, all things considered. But I'm living, thriving and growing, fighting opponents that I'm with it. Striving to know who died for the lowest. Don't you get it? The industry hope is trying to control us. I ain't with it. I got me a goal that's highly explosive. With my wife and my baby, what I'm writing is weighty. Call me S.O. or Bebenberg. They knighting me lately. Stand where the light is. Feeling lighter, delighted, and maybe I'm getting grown. Nothing wrong with Bible and Bailey's. I open up the text. Got my mind closer off the edge. Goes the architect. I ain't gotta go to your connect. I gotta go direct. Him and I through the sun. I'm...